Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Going to resume our study of the book of Galatians. We've been away from it for a few weeks. Had Brother Marvin in for one Sunday, and then we've done some Christmas messages, and we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 4, and the last message that we have, or we had, covered the first eight verses. It was about the fullness of time whenever God sent forth His Son to become the Savior of the world and to redeem those that were under the law. And Paul is going to continue his pleading here with the Galatian believers not to go backwards. Not to go backwards, and that's our message this morning, is the folly of going backwards. The folly of going backwards. We certainly don't want to go backwards in relation to our faith in Jesus Christ and our faith in the gospel. That would be a folly. And we're going to look at why that would be a folly this morning. And before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we can come and assemble here together. We can learn from You and we can learn from Your Word. Father, I pray that we'd be strengthened in the faith this morning. I pray that You would come and speak to us and do what only You can do. Lord, You said in Your Word that Your Word would not return void. And Lord, I pray that God, You would open up ears and open up hearts this morning, and that we would be ready to receive Your Word, and we would understand it, and we'd be edified and strengthened by it, Lord. And Lord, that we would know You better because of it. Lord, I pray that You would just have Your will and Your way in our congregation this morning. Our faith and our trust is in You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Read verses 8 to 20 of Galatians chapter number 4, speaking about the folly of going backwards. It says in verse number 8 of Galatians 4, he says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months, and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." I don't know about you, but have you ever found yourself going backwards in life before? You're making progress in a certain area of your life, and then you reverted back to that old way of thinking. Those old habits have come back on you to haunt you, and you've lost progress. You lost ground in your life. Maybe you quit smoking at one point in your life, and then all of a sudden that urge came back and you went back to smoking, or you did something and you took it back up again. Sometimes going back in life to where you started, it's going to help you in life. There's sometimes that we need to go back and do things that we once did, but Many times the Bible warns us about going back to where we came from and says that's a bad thing. Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples, to some people that were going to follow him or wanted to follow him in Luke chapter number 9. And they said, Lord, we'll follow you wherever you go, but first let us go back and do some things that we need to do and take care of before we go and follow you. And Jesus Christ said to that man, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, you can't go back. It's time to go forward. Don't look back. Again, the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 was talking about some false teachers and false prophets. And he said about them that they had gone back to the sin that they had been rescued from and redeemed from. And he says, it's just like a dog going back to his vomit, or a pig that has been washed from wallowing in the mire, going back to that mire, going back to the sin that you came from. Sometimes it's good to go back where you came from. But it all depends on where you're at the present. If you're following God right now, it's not a good idea for you to leave God and go back to the sin that you came from. But if you have strayed from God and you've gone back from God, it's good for you to leave that sin and go to God. But the Galatians had gone backwards. The Galatians had been deceived into thinking that the gospel of Jesus Christ was insufficient for salvation. They had been duped into believing that they needed something else besides Jesus Christ, that he was not sufficient for salvation. And we see Paul the Apostle pleading with the Galatians not to go back to the legalistic system that they had came from, but to follow Jesus Christ. Very big, dangerous thing for them to go back where they came from. They had reverted back to that. What happens when you go away from the gospel? It's a dangerous thing to go away from the gospel, and Christians do it all the time, even though they may not even realize it. They left the gospel a long time ago. When you leave the gospel, you go back away from freedom, and you go back to bondage. Back to the bondage of trying to keep the law. Back to the bondage of the condemnation of the law. Back to trying to appease God with your work somehow. You've left that freedom. You've gone back to bondage. You might think that it's freedom, but it's not. It's bondage. He says in verse number 9, he says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? Why are you going back to bondage? There's no freedom there. You're going backwards. Anytime that you go back to a legalistic system of religion, you're going backwards. You're going back away from freedom. To go away from the gospel is to go away from Christian fellowship and Christian friendship. It says in verse number 16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They were once friends with Paul. They once loved Paul, and now they've gone away from that and they found new friends. And Paul has suddenly become their enemy. When you and I leave the gospel, we basically usually find different friends. They've gone away from that. To go away from the gospel is to go away from the godly zeal that they once had. It says in verse number 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yeah, you've got zeal, but it's not gospel zeal anymore. It's not the zeal that you once had for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's now zeal for these false teachers, not for Jesus Christ. It's now zeal to try and puff yourself up and make you look more than you actually are. That was the problem. Everything was inverted. Everything was upside down and backwards in their lives from what it once was to what they are right now. You and I cannot leave the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's to go backwards. It's reverting back to where you once came from. I want to look this morning at three inversions that occur in life when a person leaves the gospel of Jesus Christ and goes backwards. Number one, grace becomes undesirable. Friends become enemies, and zeal becomes misdirected. First thing is, grace has become undesirable to the Galatian believers. Now, that's a hard thing for me to understand, that grace would actually become undesirable to someone because that's a free gift that someone's given to you. But when a person leaves the gospel, you have no other place to go other than away from grace, and grace becomes undesirable. You start wanting to prove yourself to God or trying to appease God in some way, but if you go away from the gospel's pure grace from beginning to end. It's nothing that you can add to it. So if you go away from the gospel, you are going away from grace, and grace will inevitably become undesirable. He says in verse number 8 to 10, he says, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods." He said of them, he says, hey, look, you are Gentiles. You used to become pagan idolaters and you used to worship false gods, and you're going back to that same system of trying to appease God with your works. And grace has become undesirable to you. And so they're trying to appease God in some way or obtain the favor of God with some kind of works. In their former lives as Gentiles, they were worshiping these false gods and they were trying to appease them in some way. He says, hey man, you're going backwards. You're going away from grace. Because the grace of God is in the gospel from beginning to end. If you were a pagan idolater in the Old Testament, you had to make some kind of offering or sacrifice to those pagan gods. The Jews in the Old Testament got wrapped up in this, trying to become like all the nations around them. You know what they ended up doing? They ended up sacrificing their children to a false god called Molech, killing their own children. Why? Trying to appease a god. Now, God required blood sacrifices in the Old Testament, but by no means did he tell them to sacrifice their children or human bodies. Those animal sacrifices that they were to sacrifice was pointing to the one ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so they were going back to that. They're going back to this legalistic system of trying to win God's favor in some way. And that's what you have to do if you go away from the gospel. Grace somehow becomes distasteful, becomes undesirable. But now the Galatian believers, they knew the true God. They're known of God. They know the gospel. They know of His grace. And Paul is saying, why do you want to go back to that bondage and to that weakness? Here you are trying to observe days and months and weeks and years. You're trying to do all these religious things in order to please God. You have the gospel. There's grace there. Why are you doing that? You're going backwards. People try to do it all the time. Why are you leaving grace for legalism again? Have you forgotten how hard that you had to work back in your pagan days? How much that you had to sacrifice and give? Trying to please this false God? You're going to try and do that again? You have Jesus Christ. Works don't appease God. Sacrifices don't appease God. He's not a God who can be appeased or pacified by humans. He can't. The gospel is the fact that God, the Father, has already been appeased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's only one sacrifice that appeases God, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. And so sometimes you and I can slip back into that bondage of legalism, going back to that. And that's foolish. There's three instances where Israel wanted to go back into Egypt. They had been redeemed from the land of bondage, from Egypt, and they got into a tight situation three different times in the Old Testament, and they wanted to go back to that bondage that they were in. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 3, they had just come out of Egypt and they got hungry one day. Started griping and complaining to Moses and Aaron. They said, man, we sure had it good back there in Egypt. We had all the food that we wanted and everything that we needed. And boy, we want to go back there. We want to go back. They forgot about how bad that bondage was. Numbers chapter 11, again, they were complaining about the provision of manna that God had given to them. And they said, man, we're tired, sick and tired of this manna. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back. Again, a third time in Numbers chapter 14, they're complaining about Moses and Aaron, their leaders, complaining about their leadership. And they said, man, we want to go back to Egypt. They had forgotten about how bad that bondage was. In each of these instances, the grace of God was at work in their lives, and they estimated it to be insufficient. They said, man, we're going to look for something else. The grace of God is just not good enough. It's not sufficient for our problems, and we want to go back and find something else.
Their focus had become distorted, and they quit looking at God, and they quit looking at His grace, and they were delusional because they had looked for something else to fix their dilemma besides God. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. They started looking for other solutions. Have you ever done that before in your life? Things get bad in your life or problems happen in your life and you don't look at God anymore. You don't look at His grace and you start thinking, man, the grace of God is not sufficient for my problem. I need something else. I need to go back to the world. I sure had it a lot better whenever I wasn't a Christian. I had a lot more money back then. I had a lot more freedom back then. It's happening all over the United States. God has become insufficient in the church. And the church has replaced Jesus Christ with something else. They have replaced Jesus Christ with, He's not quite sufficient anymore. No, we need something extra on top of Jesus Christ. We need something else extra on top of the grace of God and the Bible. We need something else. They try to replace it with psychology. Psychology has come into the church, and we now need a professional psychologist to help us with our spiritual problems because the Bible and Jesus Christ is just not good enough. It's not sufficient. Grace of God's just not going to work. If you're seeing a psychologist here today, I'm not speaking against you. But the Bible and the church is here to help us with our spiritual problems. And the Bible says that it is sufficient for every spiritual problem that man has. And we don't need professional psychologists within the church. We don't need to duplicate that. The Bible is plenty good. But they say psychology, well, we must have that. How about entertainment? The grace of God and the Bible and preaching is just not good enough. We need entertainment. That's not sufficient. The Bible is not sufficient. We must have some kind of professional singers or something because it's just not good enough. I'm not against professional singers. If you're a professional singer, use your talent for the Lord. But entertainment has been supplanted the Bible. Emotionalism. Well, I need something else besides just the preaching of the Word of God. I have to have some kind of emotion. Social justice has crept into the church, and now we have to work on feeding the poor and doing something else, and it's been supplanted. The grace of God has. I'm not against feeding the poor, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is not feeding the poor, and it's not social justice. When Christians leave the gospel, grace becomes undesirable. It becomes insufficient, and grace becomes out of focus. And it's when the Christians leave the gospel, it will inevitably be replaced by something else, and works will become our sufficiency, and works will become our focus. And grace had become undesirable for the Galatian believers. They said, well, that's not good enough. What Jesus Christ has done on the cross is not good enough. Another thing that we see is that friends become enemies. Friends become enemies when we leave the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in verses 12 to 16, he says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me at all. You know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation which was in my flesh you despised not nor rejected, but received me as the angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Where is then the blessedness that you spake of? He said, man, we were good friends. You loved me. You helped me with my infirmities. I had some kind of eye problem. I had some kind of problem with my eyes. And he said, you loved me so much that you would have taken out your own eyes. You would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me if I needed it to further the gospel. And now we aren't speaking. Now we're enemies. He says in verse number 12, he's telling them to be like him because Paul was like they were. In the sense that Paul had found freedom from not being under the law of Moses. He had become as a Gentile. He had become like a person who was not under the law, and that's what the Gentiles were in the Old Testament. He says, I have become like you. Now come back over here where I am. Let's find some common ground together. Let's become friends like we once were. But friends had become enemies because they had left the gospel. Now they have distanced themselves from Paul. They're no longer friendly to Paul, and they have made new friends. And now they are at odds with Paul. Paul had suddenly become their enemy. the man who had sacrificed so much for them and helped them and showed them the truth of the gospel. He had showed all of that to them, and now they are enemies. Did you know that that had to be heartbreaking for Paul? Paul had poured out his heart and his soul for those believers at Galatia, and they had met someone else, and they become friends with someone else, and now Paul is their enemy. Did you know whenever you try to pour your heart and your soul into someone to help them to believe the gospel and to just mentor them and help them, that, well, that cuts through the heart. That hurts. And Paul had a whole group of Galatians that he had helped, and now he is hurting. He is hurting. Paul considers them to be his spiritual children, and he says, man, I would go through labor pains again to bring Christ to be formed in you. Boy, he loved the Galatians, but now they are his enemies, and he feels like they're at odds with him. You know what's strange? Whenever Christians leave the gospel, when Christians leave the church, it all starts with finding another friend. They found somebody else. Somebody else has said something else to them, and they started loving that person and loving what they said, and they started looking up to that person, and man, they left. They went away. It all starts with that. Now, you and I are going to have to guard our hearts against developing friendships and admiring people who are not believers. Now, I'm not for once at all telling us we can't be friends with someone who's not a Christian. You have to reach those people. But what I am saying is you have to reject ungodly and unbiblical counsel that would steer us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must do that. You have to guard your heart at all costs. You have to. You must, because if you start loving something that somebody else says that is not biblical, your heart is going to be carried away and you're going to leave the faith. You're going to leave the gospel. Don't make a friend out of someone or something that will replace Jesus Christ. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Can I tell you something here this morning? That you can't have it both ways? It's either Jesus Christ or it's something else. You can't have it both ways. You got to guard your heart. You can't have the world and you can't have God too. You can't. A lot of Christians try. But you know what ends up happening? They leave. They go away because they ended up loving the world instead of God. Paul was no stranger to being abandoned by his fellow laborers. He had a man who went with him on missionary journeys, and it was his name was Demas. And the Bible says that Demas hath forsaken him, having loved this present world. What happened to Demas? Demas' heart was drawn away by somebody else or some other kind of teaching, and he left Paul on the missionary journey and went to the world. Why? It was his heart. You can't have both. You can't have God and you can't have the world at the same time. We have to guard our hearts against worldliness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is a plain statement from the Apostle John that the love of the Father is not in the heart of someone who loves the world. And I'm not sugarcoating that. That's what it says. You can't have both. Again, James 4 would concur. He says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't love God and the world at the same time. And if you don't guard your heart, you'll find yourself in the same situation that thousands and hundreds of people do. Because they love the world. They forgot the gospel. They forgot about the God that loved them. They forgot about the God that did so much for them, and they found somebody else who doesn't even love them and wouldn't spend 2 seconds with them probably to help them. But they forget about the God who gave them life and the God who died on the cross for them. You have to guard your heart against the world. You got to guard your heart against money and materialism. Don't let that become your sufficiency. Don't make friends with that material stuff. You can't have both. You can't love money and love God at the same time. You can't. Jesus Christ said you cannot love God and mammon. You can't love God and riches. You can't do it. But yet Christians all over this land have found their sufficiency in money. They have found their friendship in money. And their love is not Christ anymore. Their love is not the gospel anymore. Their love is not God anymore. Their love is money. Their love is things. Their love is cars. Their love is comfort. But it's not God anymore. They didn't guard their heart. They left it. When you leave the gospel, friends become enemies. Boy, I'd hate to say that God was my enemy. Friends change. And then number three, when the gospel is abandoned, zeal becomes misdirected. Well, they had some zeal. And when they first started out their Christian life, boy, they had the zeal. They had zeal for Jesus Christ. But now their zeal's gone. Well, it's not gone, but it's misdirected. Went somewhere else. He says in verse number 17 to 20, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Boy, you got some zeal, but now it's zeal for something else. It's not zeal for the Word of God. It's not zeal for Jesus Christ. Now it's zeal for your false teachers and your false prophets so that you can become a part of their crowd. You got zeal for them. You got zeal for a false doctrine, but it's not zeal for the truth. It is misdirected zeal. Every one of us has got zeal. Every one of us has got zeal. But what is our zeal for? You got a passion for something here this morning. I guarantee it. If you don't have a passion, you ain't breathing. And you got a passion. Is your passion for Jesus Christ? Or is it for something else? They had lost their passion for Jesus Christ. These false teachers had separated the Galatian believers from Paul. They had drugged them away from Paul and said, hey, you need to come over here and join our group. Be a part of us. Why? They didn't want them believing the gospel anymore. That's not good enough. Yeah, you got zeal. Zeal for the wrong thing. And when you and I leave the gospel, you're gonna direct your zeal somewhere else. Misdirected zeal. Misguided zeal. Paul the Apostle said the same thing of the Jews in Romans chapter number 10. Yeah, they got zeal. They got zeal, all right. But it's not according to knowledge. It's an ignorant zeal. Misdirected. He says in Romans chapter 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Because they have rejected the righteousness of myself, of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Did you know whenever you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you reject the righteousness of God that's given to you free and clear, and you have nowhere else to go except for your own righteousness. You're going to try and prove yourself to God that you are a good person or somebody else. That's the only place you have to go. And boy, you're going to be zealous about it too. I guarantee it. Their zeal was misdirected. They were zealous. When our energy and our zeal is directed towards establishing our own personal righteousness through good works, when our focus is on our own ability to be morally good or superior, even though it is keeping the commandments of the Word of God, there is no grace in that scenario. There is only man's ability to succeed without God. That's all there is. And you've left the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when all of our energies are pointed towards Jesus Christ and the grace that is found in Him for all things, do you know who gets the glory out of all of that? Not us. Not us. Only God. Only God gets the glory. And that's the beauty of the gospel. There ain't nothing in there good about me and you. I guarantee you. The only thing that is in the gospel about you and I is our sin. That's it. And that we need to be rescued from it. But can I tell you something here this morning? The more that you praise Jesus Christ and the more that you worship Jesus Christ only points to God. And that's it. That's it. Boy, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Oh my goodness. Boy, it leaves us with our zeal pointed in the right direction. You know, on any given day, any given Sunday during the wintertime, flip on the TV. You're going to see football games. I'm not against football, so don't say, well, he's against football now. I'm not against football, but on any given Sunday, you can flip on the TV and you can see grown men and women out in the football stands, 10-degree weather, half naked, with painted bodies,
and a fake piece of cheese on their head. And they are hooping and hollering and jumping up and down, man. They are hooping and hollering. Boy, they are so happy that they get to do that. They are fans, man. They have sacrificed and they have anticipated the day that they can go to Lambeau Field and cheer on the Green Bay Packers. Man, they have zeal. But those same people would not testify publicly about the Savior of their souls, Jesus Christ. They have no zeal whatsoever for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are probably professing Christians. They won't put a tithe in the offering plate, but they will spend thousands of dollars on the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers are not going to last forever. That's only a temporary thing. But Jesus Christ lasts forever. Boy, you talk about some misdirected zeal. Whenever you leave the gospel of Jesus Christ and you leave Christianity, your zeal is going to be directed somewhere. I don't care if you're a professing Christian or not. It's going to go somewhere and we will drift off into idolatry because we have passion. I've noticed that many Christians are willing to do acts of kindness and generosity. They're willing to do all of that. And there's nothing wrong with those things. We ought to, but did you know that they won't talk about why they do those things? They won't talk about the grace of God is the one that allows them to do that through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's been replaced in the churches today. Been replaced by social justice. Makes people feel good about themselves. And that's what people want to do. They want to feel good about themselves, and so they do all of that. So when the gospel is replaced in the lives of Christians, our zeal becomes misdirected. I'd like to ask you this morning, have you gone backwards in your Christian life and you've long since forgotten about the gospel? The gospel's not even a blip on your radar. You don't even think about God anymore. Has grace become undesirable? Have Christian friends become enemies? And zeal, has it become misdirected in your life? Did you know that there's an end to abandoning the gospel? He says in verse number 11, he says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. So here's Paul, and he's afraid about the Galatians in relation to his labor that he had invested in them, in witnessing to them, and preaching to them, and converting them. So the end of going back is what? Boy, I'm afraid for you. Somebody leaves the gospel. They go away from Jesus Christ. I'm afraid. Why? Because you can't go to heaven and not believe the gospel. If you reject the gospel and you leave the gospel, there's no eternal life for you. He says, I'm afraid for you. And he says, I'm willing to labor so that Christ would be formed in you. What does that prove when someone leaves the gospel? Well, for one thing, it proves to us that they didn't understand the gospel or they have believed in vain. Paul the Apostle again talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. He wrote to the Corinthian believers. And he says, look, you are not believing in one of the tenets, the main tenets of the gospel, and that's the resurrection. Have you believed in vain? Do you not understand the gospel? Let me preach it to you again. Let me remind you again what the gospel is and how you were saved. Have you believed in vain? Have you gone away from the gospel? You have to understand the gospel with your mind, but you have to believe it with your heart. And another thing that it proves to us is, well, they were never born again to begin with. They were not regenerate to begin with. The Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They don't believe the gospel because they're not of us. They're not of the body of Christ. They don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They are not regenerate. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. It's a fearful thing to reject the free gift of the gospel. What must we do about that? Make the gospel the central part of your life. Live gospel-centered lives.
Live gospel-centered lives. Let us teach our children and everyone that we know what the gospel is. And let us be a gospel-centered church. Amen. Let us be a gospel-centered church. Don't let us drift off into legalism. Don't let us drift off into idolatry. Because there are consequences to not believing the gospel. And they are serious consequences. And Paul says to the Galatian believers, don't go backwards. Don't go back to where you went from. Don't go back into that legalism. You stay with Jesus Christ. You stay with the gospel. Don't forget the gospel here this morning. Let's pray.